You're Locked On Blue Jackets, your daily podcast on the Columbus Blue Jackets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey guys, happy Thursday, happy almost weekend day. This is Locked On Blue Jackets. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am, of course, your host, Jay Foster. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. So today we're going to be continuing the conversation that I had with Kat Silverman this weekend. We talked a little bit more about our goalies here on Columbus. We talked a little bit about the kind of free agency shakeup that I feel like every single team participated in this offseason. And it's a lot of fun. We look at some Metro opponents. We look at some Western Division guys that we haven't really paid attention to for a while. So I'll just get right into it.
Yeah, I feel like at least once a game last season, there would be a moment where Elvis would just do something and I would, like, feel years coming off my life. Like,
yeah, that sounds about
right. He has those moments sometimes where you're like, you can feel your heart, like, just drop. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. But I think something else that's really important about Elvis is that he doesn't seem to let it get in his head. I feel like you can see that with some goalies, is that if they make a mistake, it really kind of sticks with them and they kind of fall apart a little bit after that. But for me, Elvis has always kind of stayed with it and been honest with himself as well. Something that I really like about Elvis is if he loses a game and he hasn't played very well, he's like, yeah, I didn't play very well, but I know what I did wrong and I'm going to do it better next time. So I think he has a really good mental fortitude for the position, which, and you know, as a goalie yourself, you know, is important, and it's something that's really hard to achieve sometimes and keep hold of it. I know I've had bad games where, you know, I felt like every puck is going in and it's so hard to kind of keep your head above the water, and I feel like Elvis does a really good job of kind of stay, even if he lets a bad goal in. Like, there was a game against Chicago this season where I think we were up 2-1 or 3-1, and then it was two bad plays from Elvis. He went out behind the net to try and play the puck and either passed it to a Chicago player, or I think it bounced off him and straight to a Chicago player. And obviously they kind of capitalized on that, but it didn't feel at any point like he'd kind of given up on the game. I like Elvis. I like a lot about his game, but I like him as a person as well. I think he's a good, and I think he's going to be a good mentor for younger goalies as well. When it comes to that point, obviously he and Kiv Lennox were really close, and it seemed like they really kind of had that bond. Whereas again, Korpisalo, love Korpisalo. I feel like he's very much kind of that prototypical goalie loner, you know?
Yeah. I think we've only seen Elvis really not even give up. I think we've only seen him completely lose his rhythm in a game once. I think we've seen him make some poor choices in a game, which, like you said, sometimes he's not afraid to be creative and do something that we're like, I wouldn't. Okay.
Not the choice I would have made, but yeah.
And that's not the choice that I would have made. And sometimes it's not the choice that he should have made. But I think that one game, and I think it was 2 years ago, where the team was winning and he ended up allowing something like 5 consecutive goals in like a minute and a half on like every single shot for the last 5 minutes of the game. He allowed, and I think it was the Maple Leafs, to tie them up. And I just sat there and blinked, and I was like, somebody's got to pull him from this game.
Yeah.
But I think that was really the only time that we've seen him just completely stutter to the point where I didn't think his rhythm was, like, I didn't think he was operating on the same planet as the rest of us for that little stretch of time. But, and by the next game, he was fine. It is going to be interesting, though, to see what happens with him with a new head coach. which normally with a goaltender, you don't see a huge issue there, right? Like you don't see, unless the defense was what was really tanking a goalie, you don't really see a goaltender just completely change the way that they play under a different coach. But I think Elvis is a unique player. And I think that John Tortorella is a unique coach who not everybody liked him. I've enjoyed every conversation I've had with him. He's a very pleasant person to me, which does not mean he's pleasant to everyone. And I do think that he got along with some people very well and didn't get along with others all that well. And I couldn't really gauge how he got along with Elvis, but I do think that Elvis, just based on his attitude and his disposition and his upbringing, I think that there was a reaction there. There was some level of push and pull that shaped the way that Elvis played a little bit, whether it was agreeing with Tortorella on things and being determined to show him that he could do what he was being asked to do, or it was not liking what Tortorella was saying and wanting to stick it to him. I think that Elvis is the kind of player who was able to change some of his game based on arguably one of the more polarizing coaches in the league. And I don't think anybody can even come close to being what Tortorella is. Which is not a bad thing.
No, I liked a lot about John Tortorella's tenure in Columbus. I mean, like, obviously we won while he was here for the most part, so, you know, that always helps.
Coming up in a minute, I've got more of my conversation with Kat about goalies, but first I've got to tell you about rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models of cars, it's basically impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. You've got to go there and endure pointless or intimidating questioning. You've got to wait while they order the parts on their computer, choose the brand that their warehouse carries, the brand that's going to make them the most commission, and then, you know, you've got to go home and wait. They've got to order the part in. You've got to go back. You've got to pay for the labor. You've probably got to leave your car there. It's a whole fiasco. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket, so you don't even have to leave the house. You can save time and money when using rockauto.com. They are a family business. They've been serving auto parts to customers online for over 20 years. And their prices are reliably low for every customer, regardless if you are a do-it-yourselfer or a professional. They've got everything from brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even things like new carpet. If you can put it on or in your car or truck, rockauto.com probably sells it. So go explore their easy-to-use website today, and you can find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck. Make sure you write "locked on" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
But the thing about Elvis and Tortorella that always makes me laugh, there was a game near the end of the season, and I can't remember who we were playing, but we were up and we had an empty net, and I remember there was a timeout and Elvis skated over to the bench and said something to Tortorella, and then they asked him after in the post game, and they said, you know, what were you saying to him? And Elvis was like, oh, I told him that I was going to try and score a goal and that he couldn't be mad if I messed up. And like, that just felt like such a prototypical.
That's a very Elvis thing. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how Brad Larsen handles the goalies, because I mean, Tortorella himself has said, I don't understand goalies. I just do go off what the goalie coach says. So I'll be interested to see if Brad Larsen kind of takes a little bit more of a hands-on approach with regards to goalies, because it felt very much like Tortorella was, I don't understand these weird goalie fellas. We'll play the one that's doing well, and we'll go from there. So it'll be interesting to see next season, especially if we keep both Merzlikins and Korpisalo. It'll be interesting to see how Larsen handles the tandem, because I feel like at this point they have both earned the right to start an equal number of games. And they've said that for the past few seasons, like, oh, it's gonna be a tandem. They're gonna start equal games, and then injuries cut in the way, and then, like, obviously when a goalie's playing really well, you want to ride the hot hand, and it hasn't really been equal. Korpisalo's played I think maybe 20 more games than Elvis over the last two seasons, which is not a ton, but I'm really hoping that we get a much more even split, provided everyone stays healthy. Knock on wood. But I wanted to kind of move on from specifically the Blue Jackets a little bit. There was a lot of goalie movement this off season. We talked about it a little bit earlier. There was a lot of trades for goalies. There was a lot of goalie free agents. I did wonder if we were maybe going to pick up a veteran. I was looking at maybe a guy like Yaroslav Halak to maybe replace one of Muslikins or Korpisalo, who moved them. Obviously that didn't happen. But were there any surprises in the goalie movement that happened? Is there anyone that kind of you're interested to see on their new team? Do you think anyone's going to have a massive increase or decrease in like their stats based on their new team?
I think it's obviously the big one for me is Marc-Andre Fleury. I have nothing nice to say about that situation. I think that whole conversation's been more or less played out at this point, so I won't rehash it too much. But I enjoy Fleury. I think he's a good player. I think he's a good person. I'm excited to see him get another year out of his career, but I don't necessarily love how that was handled, and I don't think he loves how it was handled either. So we'll see how that goes. It's either going to, you know, he's either going to do really well with that, or he's going to struggle with it, because we've seen that from him in the past. Kind of curious to see what happens in San Jose, since they finally moved on from the world's longest failed experiment.
But I like Martin Jones so much, like, as a person.
I like him as a person. I think he's a really good guy.
And then Vegas broke him. Like,
yeah, he had these exploitable, kind of like we were saying with Calvin Pickard and Jonas Korpisalo and some of these other guys who have very predictable movement in their games. Martin Jones had some very predictable movement laterally on his blocker side, and teams picked up on it, and he didn't have that creativity to just adapt it, and it really went off the rails for him, to the point where I think that without a change of scenery, essentially, nothing was going to get better for him. And it may not at this point, because he's over 30. I think that there's kind of a sweet spot for goalies for, they say that to build a habit, you have to do something, you know, hundreds of thousands of times, and he's built a habit in the wrong direction. So we'll see how that goes. Aiden Hill is a player who I think the Coyotes needed to find a way to move him out, because he wasn't their goalie of the future, and he wasn't really fitting with, I mean, they had Antti Raanta and Darcy Kuemper, and that wasn't really working. Because Hill was sort of this third floater, who was essentially only there to fill in when somebody was injured, which luckily was a lot for him. But
poor Raanta.
You know, I think he's, I know, poor.
I, again,
although we'll
is
see how that goes. Love.
Like, I am a
we'll
recovery
see how
Black
that goes,
fan.
Though.
In 2015, and he was just a joy. Like, I love him.
He's a really good goalie. We'll see how healthy he is. I think that's going to be really interesting.
Coming up in a minute, I've got some more of my conversation with Kat, but first I've got to tell you about Built Bar. You know by now, Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. They've got a bunch of super delicious flavors. I had a raspberry one for breakfast this morning, and it was great. They have a bunch of regular flavors that you can get at any time, and more excitingly, they have a bunch of limited edition flavors. I feel like every day I open my inbox and there's a new email from Built Bar being like, hey, why don't you try Grasshopper Cookie or Rocky Road or Toffee Almond? There's so many different flavors that they can provide, and I feel like every day there is something new and exciting to try. And if you haven't tried all of the regular flavors, you can get a mixed box, which is where you'll get two each of the 9 regular flavors. And from there, you can pick a favorite and just go nuts. I think my favorite is still the mint brownie. The cookies and cream is really good as well. But for me, the mint brownie, I think, is just it's the best. And not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, they're good for you as well. They are high in protein, low in sugar, low in carbs. delicious, nutritious, and all around the best. And here's the best bit. If you go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 and you will get 15% off your order. Once again, that is promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, for 15% off at built.com. And with the money you save at Built Bar, why don't you live a little? Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action online at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC, MMA action. So before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. If you use promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, you can receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That means if you put $100 in, they will give you $50 on top of that. If you put $200 in, they will give you $100 on top of that. It's that easy. Once again, that is promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, LOCKEDON, at betonline.ag for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Carolina and Toronto both decided that they almost wanted to sort of switch their goaltending situations, which good for them. I believe we currently have Antti Raanta and Frederik Andersen in Carolina, which is not what I would have done.
To talk about a little bit, actually, because that was the Carolina.
That's not what I would have done. I think that James Reimer was reaching, I think he's reaching the twilight of his career. You know, he's, in terms of workload and injuries, that's a guy who needed to be managed a little bit more meticulously moving forward. Peter Mrazek's kind of a wild card to me, always has been. And then they had Alex Nedeljkovic, who was the heir apparent, but kind of like the situation with Aiden Hill, where there was two very clear NHL goalies already in the system. There was nowhere for him to go. And so they traded him away. And I thought, okay, I guess that's what they're going to do. Cool. They'll stick with their veterans and then wait for someone else to come up. They have some good prospects in the pipeline. And instead of doing that, they then got rid of both of the established goalies too, which I don't understand that. I think that Frederik Andersen needed a change of scenery, not unlike Martin Jones, but also a little bit of an injury red flag. I think he played a few too many games over the last 4 or 5 years to really be confident that he's got a ton left in the tank, and Antti Raanta hasn't been healthy in 2 years. So I think that's a massive question mark in Carolina. Good for them. I think that's an exciting, spicy gamble that I certainly wouldn't have taken, but all right. I think it's kind of fun watching Toronto, you know, when they moved on from Frederik Andersen, made me kind of sad because he finally had someone that they trusted to play a tandem with, and he just couldn't get it together last year. And so they moved on very quickly. And I would have liked to have seen what he could have done with one more year of true tandem work. But that's okay, because we get more Jack Campbell in Toronto. That's going to be fun. And then you've got, on the other end of the spectrum, you've got Edmonton, who refuses to move on from their goaltenders. Mike Smith is signed for another 2 years. He'll be 41 when his contract expires, which is, I don't have words. So
bonkers. Just, they said that they were thinking about keeping him, and I was like, but why?
Yeah, when they said that they were going to keep him, I just sort of, my head cocked. I was like, all right, there's nobody very clearly ready in their prospect pool. And then not only did they keep him, they kept him for 2 years, which is funny if you're not an Oilers fan. It's not funny if you are.
I feel like he was pretty good in the regular season, I feel like. But then, unfortunately, playoff, yeah. Mike Smith is... That's a time. I really enjoyed that series, actually, the Edmonton-Winnipeg series. But, man, at a certain point, Edmonton's got to figure out their goaltending situation, because I feel like it's been up in the air literally since I got into hockey back in, like, 2012.
Yeah, That sounds, it's been probably earlier than that, because they've had just a revolving door, and the goaltenders just can't seem to find their rhythm together. And I think Mike Smith has come kind of close, but looking at the last 3 to 4 years of his career, so not just last year, but the ones prior, I mean, he was below replacement level, and that should be concerning to Oilers fans. But no, there was a lot of movement, a lot of really weird movement. I think that Dallas signed everyone who couldn't find a starting job somewhere else, because they have like 5 goalies on their roster right now. I know that Ben Bishop's kind of a huge question mark, but they still, I forget who else they signed to add to that, but they now have, I think, 4 guys who belong in the NHL, which is exciting.
Yeah, they signed Braden Holtby, didn't they? And I was like...
It was Braden Holtby.
Wow,
that was
did Ben Bishop die? And the answer is yes.
I think he did. I think he did, yeah. But that's one who I kind of put alongside on Toronto, where when he's healthy, he's very good. And I just don't know if he... There reaches a point, and you've been in goal too, so you know, there reaches a point where if you're not healthy enough to react with the speed and the explosiveness that you need to get to a puck on time, it's just going to be injury after injury. And that's kind of where I feel like Ben Bishop might be. But that's also, I mean, they're in the Central Division, which the Central Division is going to be not all that great this year. Cause I don't think we've talked enough about Colorado. Colorado's had a really strange offseason that involved losing Philip Grubauer. Pavel Francouz is supposed to be healthy again, but he hasn't played a game in over a year. That's a huge question mark for me, because I believe he's also, if he's not over 30, he's really close. And then they added Darcy Kemper, who has been very, very good in Arizona, but need someone who is fully healthy behind him. That was the biggest issue in Arizona, is that he and Antti Raanta could not stay healthy, because Raanta was hurt more, but Kemper was hurt a lot. I mean, he'd get hurt 2 or 3 times a season. And I think Colorado's big Achilles heel has been that they haven't had consistently healthy goaltending since before Semyon Varlamov. And I thought that Grubauer was really going to be that, and they just couldn't make something work there. Which is kind of exciting, I guess, for their fans to watch. They have a really good prospect coming up in Justice Annunen, who I think is arguably the best Finnish goaltender we've seen in a really long time, with no disrespect to Jonas Korpisalo.
No, but,
And I think that's all the time I've got for today. Tomorrow, I will be bringing you the end of my conversation with Kat Silverman about goalies. It is goalie week here at Locked On Blue Jackets, and we are fully committed to that. I have been Jay Foster. You can find me on Twitter at _JacobFoster, JakobForster. And you can follow this podcast at LO_Blue Jackets on Twitter, and we are wherever you get your podcasts. We are on Apple, we are on Spotify, we are on Stitcher, we are on Odyssey. If you have a podcast app of choice, you can find us there. So until tomorrow, make sure you stay locked on.